Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, football fans, it's Patrick Peterson, former three-time All-Pro NFL cornerback and now the new host of First and Pod, the podcast that breaks down every game, every week, with new episodes dropping every Monday and Friday mornings. Plus, I'll be highlighting key matchups for DBs around the league on Patrick's Corner. Be sure to subscribe to First and Pod on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go. It's good to be back on a Thursday, 2025.
That's a weird day to start back up, but that's fine.
Wait, what? You're not happy to be back?
No, I just said it's a weird day to start back up.
I mean, Thursday and Friday, and we're back on the weekend, and next week's the first full week, but it's good. We got the full crew. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon, we're all here together. Happy New Year, guys.
Everyone's a little different. Are you the can't wait to get back to work guy?
There's a mix. Definitely was nice to take some time away and relax a little bit. But there,
absolutely,
there's some truth to. I am a person of routine, so it's nice to get back in routine starting today.
Okay, so right, like you're back to the normal, wake up at the normal time.
Yeah, like I like having a little routine, and as we always say, like not just saying this to say, like we're talking about the Chiefs and another playoff run coming up. They're going for a three-peat. Like we're not going back and sitting in a cubicle and crunching numbers, you know, for 8 hours a day. So we get a joke around and we're talking sports and life, et cetera. So yeah, man, it's going to be back. Good to see you guys. Everybody have a good new year. I know Drew, you hosted last, what was that? My days
on
are all
Monday
screwed
with Briscoe.
Up. Monday. That's right.
Which did not feel like a Monday. It was a weird, it was weird to be back for one day and then be off for two more days and then be back again.
The other thing I noticed, because we hadn't seen each other for like a week and a half or whatever it is, like Drew, you dyed your hair, the Burrow hair, back in what, October? And it's time for
a cut.
You just need a cut.
You gotta get Rye back in here. You need a cut. Yeah.
I just got a cut before Christmas.
Damn, there's still that much blonde in it?
Yeah. I got a little bit off the top because I went more to like the slick back look.
Okay.
I need to take some more off the top because, yes, when it dries out, it is still very much blonde on the top. The back and the sides are completely brown again.
Yeah, if you got it, if you just cut it really short, I feel like all the blonde would be gone and you'd be good to
go.
Yes,
you might want to
just buzz it. Did Rye cut it again?
No.
Is she official? Oh, man, wow.
I did not. I was spur of the moment. Like literally, I got it cut and then left.
So you're
to go home. Yeah,
it was like a super cuts or something.
Yeah, swung by real quick to a place.
You guys, as always, the phone number's the same to interact with us. New year, same number, 913-586-7965. That's the Jay's Southland Tow Service text line. Coming up in 30 minutes, our VFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, is going to join us. He was kind enough to say, I want to come on the show today. Because he missed on Tuesday. We were obviously off and everything. So he's going to call in. I want to find out what he did for New Year's Eve. That's what I want to find out. We can talk some sports, too. I just want to know. This must be pretty. He's already true in training and everything. But, like, I want to know what a Major League Baseball player does for New Year's Eve that's married these days.
Yeah, you know, no kids, though. That could probably change the math. You know what I did on New Year's Eve? I was at my house. Was I up till midnight? Sure. Did I go out? Absolutely not. I did not leave my home for New Year's Eve.
By the time it was midnight, I was also at home. Yeah.
But you were out for a portion of the evening.
Did dinner and some stuff. And then I was bummed out. A bar that I normally go to was people for what, and I get it. They wanted their coworkers to be able to experience New Year's Eve as well.
Oh,
but I was surprised a bar, like a bar you would think would be, the bar closed at 9 o'clock.
Which was surprising, right? Surprisingly early.
Yeah.
As you know, I spend part of my Christmas day at Kelly's.
I saw that. I did see that.
Once again.
Yeah.
My kids play hide and seek and ride scooters through the bar. You know, totally normal parenting behavior. You know, we all got our routine. And it's in a little, you know what? It is today also, as you had mentioned on social media, marks the 5th anniversary of this show.
It is, man.
I actually looked it up. I did some research while you were in with Bob and Josh. We still need about 6 months, and then we will be the longest-running midday show in this station's history. Well, 96.5, the fan.
I got you. It's just 6-2. I'm back to 6-10 days.
Yeah. Collective history. So we got it. We got like.
Does that say a lot about us or the station's history and the time
point
slot?
Point is, new record.
Yeah. Okay.
It's like being the all-time leading passer for the Jets. It's not, you know, like sometimes it's not as impressive because, you know, there's some runs that didn't last as long.
Okay.
But all the same, 5 years, man.
Happy anniversary to you. Thank you guys so much for supporting the show for 5 years. So we're excited for another year.
Canceled if you guys
didn't
listen. That's
right. That's how that works. That's exactly how this thing works. So we do appreciate everybody's support. And I didn't get you a gift. Sorry. It's that even though, you know, we spend more time on this show than sometimes you do with your family and stuff because we're doing 20 hours a week of radio and all this. People joke about the radio wife thing or whatever. No gift for you. Happy anniversary, though.
Yeah. It's tough.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, you could have gotten something.
No gift.
But that's okay. I accept. I will say one other thing I need to note, and then we'll talk Chiefs here going in, because we got 4 hours today. We're back. The show's back. While you were gone, I might have let the audience in on something that was taking place and then made some promises related to just me. You don't have to be involved, but I thought you should be aware.
Here we go. Yeah, I honestly have no clue what he's about to say. This is not even a lie.
No, this is. I didn't warn you that I was going to say this before. While you were gone on the day that I hosted, I informed the audience that I appreciated them listening to the show so much because I had learned during that time that in our key demographic, we were at least at a portion of the last quarter, the number one rated midday show in the market.
That's right.
I then told them that as a result of that, I could be privy to some financial bonus as it results of that.
Oh, gosh.
To which I then promised a portion of that bonus to the listeners in the form of their choice, either a tab at Kelly's of somewhere between, it depends on the bonus, let's be honest with you. I promised them a tab of somewhere between $500 and $1,000 of my own money, or we could all go to Kelly's and you've got to pay for your own drinks and we could put it on a parlay. I gave the audience the choice. We'll see what it comes down to in the end. But if I actually, if you guys listen the way I hope you did towards the end of January and we find out in a couple of weeks and I get an actual bonus, I'm giving it back to you. Do you want to chip in? You want to chip in a little? $20?
A little, sure.
A little, you said a little? I'll make this very clear. I haven't gotten this approved by my wife yet, but, you know, I'm sure it'll go fine.
Yeah, well, we can do something. We can do something. Committing 100% of unknown dollar amount? No.
Yeah. It's out there. I've already said it. So this portion of the audience who wasn't listening that day is now listening today's got to know. So we're back.
Yeah. If it's your money, you can pick the venue. Otherwise, we'll have to talk about the venue.
What? Well, if it's my, if I think a percentage thing. Mm-hmm. If it's. You know what? And I honestly could chip in a little. You know, let's get that tab up a little bit. Or maybe some new Coding Gold shirts. They could chip in
way. That I'd be more interested in that. Yeah, I'd be more interested in getting some new show shirts. But anyway, we can talk about that. I was not aware that was something you publicly disclosed when I was gone.
I felt like I needed to tell
you now. Thank
you
for doing that.
Before somebody sent in a text a couple of days from now and you're like, what the hell are they talking about? I'm just going to let that be known. Mm-hmm. I did not include you. Mm-hmm. I did not force any other participation.
Yeah.
This was, you know, I'm just letting you know.
All right.
Someone says, I for sure would gamble it. Let's see what happens.
I will say this. Why don't you sell the pallet of stuff you still haven't sold from a year ago?
And include that?
And put that as some of the money
show
for this.
Fun stuff, you know?
All right, let's talk some football, though, guys. We're good. We're glad to be back. It's good to be back here on the show. And since we last did this show together, the Chiefs has played two football games. We now know more and more about these playoff scenarios. It sets up a Week 18. We know what the Chiefs have on the line, which is nothing at this point. They have the number one seed locked up. But there's a lot of teams, including their opponent, Denver Broncos, on Sunday in Denver at Mile High that have everything to play for. And so the different playoff scenarios, I think there's a what do you think's going to happen versus what are you hoping happens? And that's where I'll ask you guys on the text line too, because I don't know about you. I know exactly what I want to have happen this weekend. I want Carson Wentz and Chris Oladokun to win against the Broncos while the Bengals win the night before, while the Dolphins win against the Jets.
Well, that's my dream. Result.
That's my dream scenario. The Chiefs knock the Broncos out. Carson Wentz gets the Chiefs to 16 wins. The Dolphins sneak in. The Bengals win on Saturday night. Drew's feeling good and comfortable and confident. And then he is disappointed. Yes, I'm saying that. Sorry, Drew. Disappointed. And the Bengals end up with 9 wins and worse draft stock and still don't make it in. Everybody's shirts that are getting... Actually, you promise something? I'll promise you something, Drew.
Wow.
I'll buy you a t-shirt, the best 9-8 team in NFL history that also had a quarterback that wasn't the MVP. I'll buy you that shirt if Cincinnati makes the playoffs.
That's a very specific shirt you're going to have to get custom designed.
But I think that's what I've been told, that the best 9-8 team in NFL history that also has a quarterback that hasn't won against a playoff team except once, that should be the NFL MVP. That's who they are this year.
I think what I learned, and I think what the rest of these leagues should learn about this, and what we can talk about Cincinnati in a little bit, but like this weekend, right, the AFC North is still on the line. The Ravens and the Steelers are still technically vying for that. Not Cincinnati,
yep.
As we had previously mentioned. Miami obviously still has a chance. All of those bottom, and this goes back to the same thing. When they expanded the playoff field to 7 teams in the AFC, they weakened it. Those 7th seed teams, whether it be Cincinnati or Miami or most likely scenario, the Denver Broncos, they don't matter. Like, the only thing I've said about Denver is I don't think they're a great matchup for Kansas City, and I prefer just not to see divisional round teams in the playoffs for the obvious reasons, because they've seen you a lot, you know each other a lot, but the Chiefs went 5-0 in the division this year. So honest to God, probably at this point that I want to happen, I'd be remiss if I thought, I firmly say this is what I want. What I think will happen is Denver will probably beat Kansas City, and that won't still be enough for those teams, because either Miami's going to beat the Jets, a team that is fully quit. I mean, they've way hung it up. Did you see that performance against the Bills? I mean, my God. I don't know what was worth that, or the Texans against the Ravens, maybe? At 30, what was that, 34-2?
Oh, that score was on Christmas something like Day. That was pitiful.
I don't know which one was worse, but there were a couple of hideous performances in the AFC because the bottom end tier teams aren't that good. So for this weekend, I wish there were more chances for these teams to play spoiler. The funniest result still, and I think good for Kansas City, bad for Kansas City in the long run, is we still want the Ravens winning their division. No one any part of...
I mean, I don't care if the Steelers win their division. I mean, I know what you're saying.
Better chance you see the Ravens in the second round. The Ravens win their division. You are never facing both the Ravens and the Bills.
Yeah.
You are avoiding the scenario that is you have to face both. And so for me, that's still the end game I would prefer. Of all the results this weekend, the one I think impacts the Chiefs the most is that the Ravens still win the division, and therefore you don't have to play the Bills and the Ravens if you go to the Super Bowl.
I hear you, yeah, versus the 4-5 matchup right now looks like Texans and Steelers. One of those teams would be coming to Kansas City divisional round weekend, unless you believe a 6-seed Chargers team. Let's also not forget, there's a chance the Chargers move all the way up to a 5-seed too, Cody. There's a scenario there, I can't remember the specifics, but where the Chargers could still end up as a number 5-seed in this entire thing, too. I think it's the Steelers would have to slip all the way back to a 6-seed. So Baltimore would have to win the division. Steelers would fall back to 6-seed. Chargers with a win can move all the way up to the 5-seed. So then you could be talking about the Chargers or Texans coming here, or if you think the Steelers could then beat Baltimore in the wild card round.
How about the Texans look right now?
You know, so there's some different, like, I'll actually take the Steelers sliding all the way back to the 6-seed, too. Because then it opens up where you have a chance. Because I think Pittsburgh could still beat Baltimore in a wild card game in Baltimore. And so all of a sudden, if I could have 60 Pittsburgh coming and Baltimore's knocked out altogether, that also is a pretty good one. I'd rather play Pittsburgh again than the Chargers again. Like if the Chargers are the 6-seed.
Same thing as the divisional thing. And my general rule of thumb on teams you should be more afraid of in the NFL is how good is their quarterback. And Russ
versus Wilson, Herbert.
And he's turning back into maybe not a full pumpkin, but clock struck midnight on, ooh, Russ maybe looks a little bit like the old Russ. Flashes of competent quarterback play is what you've seen out of Russell Wilson. But does his play scare you? Absolutely not.
Pittsburgh doesn't look good right now at all. I mean, Mike Tomlin was even quoted a couple days ago saying they kind of got to get some of the stink off of them right now. The teams that potentially are going to go 0-4 heading in the playoffs, which is what they're in danger of doing, those teams don't just snap out of it wild card weekend and find a way to get a win.
I would
love for them to fall to the 6-seed and then knock off Baltimore, but the chance of that happening are probably pretty slim. But I'm excited for all the scenarios. I mean, those are the ones impacting the Chiefs. There's, of course, Sunday Night Football, which we can get to later on today or tomorrow. Lions-Vikings for the number one seed. That's an incredible way to wrap up the final game of the regular season. A Lions team that has been viewed as maybe the best team all year by so many people. Now they could actually end up having to go on the road throughout the entire postseason.
That's wild.
That's crazy. But that's how good the NFC North has been.
It took me this entire time to actually believe in Minnesota. That, like, up until last week, I was still kind of a hater on him. I just, like...
Yeah, Darnold with Kevin O'Connell. That pairing, man, it works.
Well, and especially when your wide receivers are Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson. Sure. It turns out it really works, right?
It's great.
And a very good offensive line and all this stuff that kind of work in Minnesota's favor. So, like, and Flores has done a great job with the defense. They're just a really good team. I did not buy in for a very, 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 very long time. Minnesota can go to the Super Bowl. Like, they absolutely can. With Sam Darnold at quarterback.
Oh, you want Chiefs-Vikings Super Bowl rematch? Go all the way back in history? I'll take that.
What's kind of funny about it is the NFC, if there's been a conference that's been putting more mediocre quarterbacks in the Super Bowl, it has absolutely been the NFC. They've been running out the Jimmy Garoppolo, whatever, right? The average run-of-the-mill quarterbacks have been making it to the NFC side of the Super Bowl a number of times over the last 15 years versus the AFC that only puts in Tom Brady or Patrick Mahomes over the last decade and maybe one or two other, the 1 year Burrow went, or I don't know, the couple of other random mixed in ones over the course of that time. But yeah, for the most part, not really a consistent group out of there. But yeah, this weekend, I think that that result probably matters. Like, I'm not going to pretend like because Carson Wentz could just as easily be the backup in Kansas City again next year. Eh, you know.
Yeah, we're going to talk about him. He's got a great opportunity for him individually.
Keep a look
on
at
Sunday.
That. Yeah, he does.
I mean, like, I don't think the Chiefs are going to just have Carson Wentz play in this game to hand the ball off 35 or 40 times. And there's a chance Carson Wentz doesn't even finish the game, honestly. Like, there sounds like Chris Oladokun has a chance to play in this game as well, which is also not a bad thing.
Game.
Not a bad thing because you don't want Carson Wentz to get hurt, too. I mean, there's a balance because we've seen two playoff runs, right, during this stretch where Mahomes either for a drive or for
Chad
a half or whatever, a quarter.
A couple times.
Yeah, and he had that, 90-plus yard drive against Jacksonville, which was crucial in that divisional round game a couple of years ago. Thinking of the Chiefs, though, there was one thing that we talked about prior to the new year and prior to playing games against the Steelers and Texans. And at that point, it was about the left tackle situation. And at that point, we saw Joe Tooney play in one game at left tackle, and we saw 3.5 quarters of DJ Humphries. And I had said over and over that I wanted to see DJ Humphries get one more game because I thought that him playing left tackle is still the best because then you still have an all pro at left guard and you're just a better unit as a whole. I don't think I can say that anymore because Humphries still has not played a game since we made that statement on this show. I know there's a chance he plays this Sunday. I think it's too late. This is also about Joe Tooney and how well he has played. Long term, Joe Tooney's not, like, next year, Joe Tooney's not this team's left tackle. I'm not making that case at all. I'm talking about for this year, for the three-peat run, when DJ Humphries hasn't finished an NFL game yet this year, how can I now, after seeing two, really, now three overall, but really strong performances from Joe Tooney against guys like TJ Watt and Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson Jr., and he held up the way he did? That's their best opportunity right now because I don't care on Sunday when Carson Wentz is quarterback, if DJ Humphries is playing left tackle, I don't know if there's anything I can see in that to make me feel good about Humphries 2 weeks later being the starting left tackle. I know that was the original plan, and I was all about it, and I agreed with, obviously, I said it on the air. That was their plan. But we've seen two games since, and guess who's still not playing football?
So, I understand, like, one, it's like they're all kind of great. The Danielle Hunter one was probably the most impressive for me. I thought TJ Watt still kind of looked like a shell of himself for the last couple of weeks as he's tried to come back from that injury. So, like, I'm not saying you don't get credit for blocking a guy. I just don't think it's TJ Watt of old, essentially, in those games. I think it's kind of a weakened TJ Watt. I still believe in the plan that is a middle of the line of Tooney, Creed, and Trey with DJ Humphries at left, playing average left tackle in the NFL. Still would be my plan. And part of it is for the things that you can't notice, which is they've been significantly worse in the running game in the time. Now, maybe some of that's Pacheco. We can talk about that momentarily.
Yeah, he's been hurt. I don't think his vision is good compared to Kareem Hunt. Yeah.
He hasn't looked very good. But, like, just generally, the running game has not been the same since they've had to move Joe Tooney to left tackle. I am surprised at how well Joe Tooney has held up. Like, Joe Tooney has done a really, really, really nice job at left tackle.
And he's graded out as one of the best left tackles in football the last couple weeks.
What the hell took you so long? You were watching turnstiles at left tackle? And I get it. Like, fans should not always make the decisions for your organizations. People have been asking for Joe Tooney to start at left tackle since Orlando Brown Jr. was here.
But he's still not a long-term solution. Like, I'll still,
no,
even, despite what I just said about the playoff run, Next year, Joe Tooney's not going to be the starting left tackle for this team.
No, you were talking
about... He's also just not a long-term solution given his age anyway. Even, and I mean, there was a reason why he was playing... What this tells us is Joe Tooney should be a Hall of Famer. Yes. Joe Tooney's an incredible football player. To be able to be an all-pro guard and then shift over to tackle the way... The reason why this is possible is because he's an unbelievable football player.
Correct. His technique, his skill set is so unmatched in his position that he could take a position like tackle to which he is not physically equipped to play. His arms aren't long enough. He's not athletic enough based on normal tackle standards, the things that you usually require in order to play that position. And he's so good at his job, you don't notice the physical limitations he's up against in order to do the job. So yes, if it is Tooney the rest of the way, I'm okay. I'll live my life. I understand the risk they took. But I would still, if I'm the Chiefs, entertain Humphreys at left.
What happens on Sunday? Let's go.
Benito's a pretty good.
He is. Let's play this
damn test.
For starters, DJ Humphreys has to prove he can make it through a full football game. I mean, I'm not even joking. Yeah. Like, it hasn't happened yet, unfortunately.
If he can't play in this game and start the entire game, then yeah, I'm not wasting any of my three games in the playoffs doing it.
So for starters, he has to do that. He then also has to be healthy. Like, I know they have a bye week, but he has to be healthy a week later. Yeah. You know, basically to play
10 days. Like 2.5 weeks later.
Can he recover?
But he needs to be healthy like 6 days later.
Yeah. Right? Can he recover from that? Those are like just the bare, the baseline stuff.
Yeah.
And then honestly, like I need him to kind of be overall. I know we've said average play, but in this circumstance, because of how well Tooney has looked,
he needs to look really good.
He needs to look kind of dominant. Like he needs to shut down. I know that's a tall task, but like Benito. I kind of need him to shut him down because if he's just average, I don't know if that's what I want. I was all about DJ Humphreys, a left tackle, when I thought I was going to get 2 or 3 games to see him play. We might get one.
Look, he's still obviously an upgrade. Like, at the very least, if for some reason something happened to Tooney, you know that you're not, like, cooked. Mm-hmm. Right? You know that it's not, God, we got to go back to Wanye, we got to go back to Kingsley, and what the hell are we going to do? It's not that. They now have depth at the position of left tackle, kind of regardless. That's why I would be interested in going back to Humphreys is... Now that Joe Tooney has practiced and played left tackle 3 times in a row, that if, let's just say Humphreys looks really good, holds up against Benito, looks really good, and they're like, you know what? Left guard is where Tooney plays. We paid Humphreys all this money. He knows how to play left tackle. Yeah. We loved what we saw against Denver. It is the divisional round weekend. Here come the Texans. Steal, whatever, doesn't matter the team. We're going to put him in at left tackle. If for the first quarter it's going poorly, I now have no concerns that I can turn it back over. I don't want to do that in the middle of the game.
But it's the playoffs. Can you afford a bad first quarter? You know, I mean, that's what's tricky.
With
I hear you.
And Andy and
that's
Chiefs,
what's tricky. Like, against the wrong opponent, you can't afford a bad quarter.
I think the only team that can't afford a bad quarter against is Buffalo.
Probably.
And I don't think they wouldn't see them until the AFC title game. So you would have already worked through those issues.
I'll tell you this. If we got an honest answer from all of you that are listening and you watch the Chiefs, if I told you, though, that it was DJ Humphreys' divisional round weekend or Joe Tooney, there's no way you can tell me you're more comfortable with it being Humphreys over Tooney. Like, that we can agree on, right? Like, I would be far more nervous heading into the divisional round game if you told me DJ Humphreys was playing left tackle than Joe Tooney. That's where I'm at now with that position, based on what we've seen from both. And I was hoping we were going to see DJ Humphreys against the Steelers. Because if we did, and they held up then I would be sitting here telling you, okay, I've seen it. Good to go. But I've only seen the Chargers game. I saw the Chargers game, and there was some good, there was some bad from DJ Humphreys. And then he got hurt, and this hamstring injury, here we are, it's January 2nd, and he's just kind of practicing.
I know. That's the biggest problem. And I don't blame him for spending the money. I'll never be like, how dare you? What did you do?
No, it still needed to do it.
Yeah, they were trying to present themselves as a safety net. And I would hate to live in a world in which you have no depth. At least Humphrey provides you depth, because like if it's Caliendo and it's Tooney to start the divisional round, well, at least I know if something happens, they could kick Humphrey. Let's just say Caliendo got hurt. They could kick Humphreys to the outside and Tooney back in or whatever. Like, at least there's some choices here. Caliendo's played fine, too, to his credit.
That's another interesting point, though. You're talking about Caliendo, who probably hasn't got enough love in this whole reshuffling, too, because he's had to play at a high enough level, is for Sunday's game against the Broncos. You know, we discuss who they're going to bench, who they're going to start, all this kind of stuff. Because of the numbers game, you do need Mike Caliendo on Sunday to be healthy still. Like, that's the... Like, scenario that you're dreading is somehow he were to get hurt on Sunday against the Broncos. So as much as we can say, oh, they're going to rest Joe Tooney on Sunday and maybe Juwan Taylor, you got to have some offensive lineman play. I mean, Mike Caliendo was already a backup lineman. He's just now been starting at guard during this reshuffling. He's a guy like, you got to be really careful about keeping him healthy too, because if you lose him, then you're right. Then it takes away the ability to even do what we're discussing with Joe Tooney.
Like, yeah. I hate to break this to people, like, and be like, bench them all. That's not how rosters work. You only get two call-ups from the practice squad. Typically, you have 7 or 8 offensive linemen active. So just do the math. Yeah. Even if I play all of the backup offensive linemen, there aren't enough to field a starting 5 offensive linemen. Not to mention wide receivers or some of these others. And look, maybe, like, I still think Hollywood Brown could use a few more snaps. Like, he's looked good, but it's not going to hurt him.
It's been fun to see.
Get a few more reps.
See the last couple weeks.
Been fun to
it's
see.
Almost like that was the original offensive plan to have him involved. It's amazing how things have opened up on offense. We're going to talk about the wide receiver room in just a bit.
The mood difference between when we last did a full show together, which was the Thursday before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So the Thursday before Christmas, like the 20th or 9th, whatever it is. That was the last full show we did together as a group, 19th. And the energy then was like, boy, this team still looks just like scraggly. We don't know who's going to play left tackle. They still never blow anybody out. This is a week 13 win team. In the last 2 weeks, they've kicked ass. And Tooney's
done
well.
Best football of the season.
And they're continuing to play great defense to the point that now they're the number 2, I think.
Scoring defense
in the NFL in a points per game perspective, which is the only thing that matters. It's the most important thing.
I hear you.
From a defensive perspective, I know they technically give up more defensive points per possession or whatever. I don't care. How many points did you give up in a game?
Right.
Is all I care about for the most part. It's like the energy shift is quite a bit different.
No, they're playing their best football. Plain and simple. This team is playing their best football. It's so cliche at the right time, you know, like, but that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing, man. And it's happened year after year, which is why it's been so funny once again. And we'll get to some of the national narrative stuff that's out there in the 11 o'clock hour. Mm-hmm. It's been so funny to hear people, I think, make the same mistake again that they just made a calendar year ago. About, you know, and then they waited till the playoffs to start playing. Yep. Well, they're doing it now. They did it in what essentially were kind of playoff games. They treated the Steelers-Texans stretch like playoff games because they knew they had a bye on the line, and they
got a month off if they won those games.
A switch flipped again, just like it did in the postseason.
Well, they also had one more additional wide receiver and competent left tackle play.
I don't know if there's ever been a team, and I'll say it all of sports, that is for years now shown that come playoff time, the idea of flipping a switch is a real thing. I know it's something people will say about sports teams all the time. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, doesn't matter. It's something we've all used in our vocabulary. And like, okay, but they'll flip a switch or whatever. It's kind of become a cliche thing. There's never been a better example of a team doing that, though, than this team with Andy Reid as their head coach, with Travis Kelce, Mahomes, and Chris Jones in particular, the core that's been there throughout this run. Of being able to truly do that. They've done it every single time, Cody, when games matter more. In this case, it was the Texans Steelers because it wrapped up the number one seed. And last year, we, of course, saw them do it throughout the entire postseason. That's what they do. It's not a cliche BS thing. If you say that about some 6-seed wildcard team, yeah, I'm going to laugh at you. I'm going to, sure. They're going to figure it out now. 9 or 10 win team. This team, you can't laugh at it. They do it every time.
They play with their food. Like, I'm sure the team would hate it. If I suggest with Andy Reid, how dare you say it about a team? I'm like, Andy, come on. You and I both know that it's just like broccoli in the corner of the plate. And there's like, oh, stupid regular season. I got to do this. I got to care about this. I got to care about taking on the Carolina Panthers in November. Oh, I don't want to do this. Because for a team with this amount of success, I get it. And if you go back through, and I would just remind people to do this, go back through and look at the records of those New England Patriots teams. They did not win 15 games every year, no matter what. They won 12, which means they lost 4. Every year, they would lose 4 games. They'd win their 12. They'd win their division because they could play with their food. They'd be the 1 seed sometimes. They'd be the 2 seed sometimes, which was still a bye in that time. And they would just go about the motions. Very few teams in sports history can just mess around for a little bit and then just decide, oh, it's real now. Time to play real football. Now, it coincides with things that helped them. Better left tackle play, Hollywood Brown coming back, defensive line, Minnehue coming back, all the things. that have obviously lined up with better football play, but also they're just playing better. Mahomes playing his best football, all the other normal things.
Just getting started here on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold. We're back together. Good to have you guys with us as always. And up next, we'll have our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, join us. We'll get his thoughts on the Chiefs, plus find out what the heck New Year's Eve looked like for him.
He's had songs written about him without asking for it.
Pasquantino, I want it. Now it's time for Pasquantino.
Mythological creatures and sandwiches have been named after him.
Beefy and Italian.
And he also thought the Davante Adams trade was going to save the Jets.
The damn Jets.
Welcome back to the show, our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino.
That's right. It is that time of the show, although a little bit later this week with the holiday, Happy New Year and everything for our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, to join us. I don't know about you, Cody. When I watch the New Year's Eve stuff, like, I have no interest in going to Times Square and freezing my ass off and like packed like sardines. They're wearing Depends adult diapers because they can't go to the restroom and all that. That's not the New Year's Eve celebration I want. But I also see every year Nashville. Nash Vegas looks pretty impressive, and that's where Vinny Pasquantino resides. So I don't know, have you experienced, I know you've experienced Nashville, but a New Year's Eve, like going out truly in Nashville?
My parents went this weekend.
Really?
Not this weekend. I guess it was literally the middle of the week. But yeah, my parents went. I was on my couch watching movies. I watched The Fantastic Beasts, which I have a question first, because I heard the ads before I came on. What is Harry Potter the musical? How does that work? Do they just sing the story?
There's probably some original songs and score involved or something, yeah.
Huh. That's cool.
I mean, I'm guessing that's what it is. I don't want to say for sure.
Well, good for them. Everybody go see it. If my radio station supports Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone music, you should go see it. So, I put my stamp on that.
You saw Fantastic Beasts. Are you a Harry Potter guy?
Yeah, I like Harry Potter. Fantastic Beasts was pretty good. There were some what felt to be plot holes. But it's okay. I'm not that much of a cynical person that I just destroy movies based off their plot holes. So I watched the movie Carry On last night. It's on Netflix.
Yeah. Good. I've seen that as well. It's not bad.
I liked it.
Bateman's great as that, like that character, and I loved him from Ozark too. So that's the other prize.
Jason Bateman could be my favorite actor. He's in the running.
Yeah,
he's definitely in the running. So he's good.
I promised my daughter tonight I'd watch Wicked, Vinny. Have you seen it yet?
No, but my wife has, and she liked it. Other than, I guess, the ending is a little cliffhanger-y for her.
I know, but there's supposed to be a second one. They love doing that if there's going to be another movie.
Yeah. Well, it's like the Pirates of the Caribbean movie where it ends when they're, like, in the middle of a fight. Yeah. It just happens. You know, that's just movies.
Something I just think at 2 hours and 45 minutes, you could give me a little conclusion for Wicked, but that's
No. That's why you guys should watch sports, is because there's always a conclusion at the end of every game, unless it's football and they tie, or soccer and they tie. Other than that, you got to win or lose.
That's true. That's a really good point.
Where are you on movie length, though? Because Cody and I have gone back and forth on this. Cody thinks any movie over 2.5 hours is too much.
Sorry, my agent just interrupted this phone call. Yes, 1 o'clock.
Did you just sign an extension or something?
So today's the day, huh? An extension is happening. No. That's exciting.
No. No, we planned planned lunch. But movie times, okay. Hour and a half is too short. 2:45 is too long. I want, like, hour 50 to 220. That's the perfect length for me. I'd prefer on the underside of 2 hours, but if it goes a little over, I'm cool with it.
All right, let's talk about a little NFL, since you are an NFL
insider. What you guys want to talk about? NFL, huh?
Honestly, we were hoping you had some amazing New Year's Eve story to tell us, like from a teammate or something like that, but I guess we don't have that today.
No, none. I've never partied in my life.
Well, don't let James or Jack or whatever his name was know.
Yeah. Ever since that guy said that to me, I haven't touched a beer, dude. I've just been grinding in the gym. I did have somebody that listens to this show, though, DM me shortly after I said that, and he had said something to me about something, and he responded, I was like, I was just kidding, man.
Oh, wow. He's like, hey, I went on the record. I was just joking.
And it was whoever that guy is, if you're listening, I saw that. It was not you that I was complaining about.
Okay. There you go. At least that guy knows he's in the clear. Your team was eliminated a few weeks ago, but Aaron Rodgers made it seem clear this very well could be his last game in the NFL. Do you think it will be?
I don't know. Who knows? I don't even have a hot take on it because I just don't even know.
Like, he says he's not going to do the darkness retreat.
That's good. He's going to stay in the light this season. So that's good. But I think it all depends on what they do at GM and head coach and whatever they do with that, because they got to want him back, but there's some cap stuff. There's some money issues there. Not necessarily issues, but he can't just leave.
Right.
Like, that's not up to him, even though it sounds like he thinks it is. But it's not completely up to him. Like, if he wants to play for somebody else, they don't just have to cut him. I would imagine that they would, but they don't have to.
The name that came up here, Vinny, like a week or so ago, because there was somebody put out some like offshore odds on where Garrett Wilson's next team could be if he got traded, because there's been rumblings there about Garrett Wilson maybe wanting out, maybe not wanting out. I know you don't want to hear me saying that because Garrett Wilson's a hell of a football player. Do you think he's on the Jets next year?
So I have multiple opinions on this. One as an athlete myself, and one as a fan, where it's like, as a fan, I would prefer you not be public about wanting out, because I want you to be like hell bent on always wanting to win games for this team, and you're under contract. As a player, like, hey man, you guys have done some crazy things. If you're the Jets and you're kind of, you got to pay these young guys coming up soon. And if you're doing a full rebuild, well, it makes sense to trade some guys. Garrett Wilson is a unbelievable football player, and if he was on your team, you'd be very happy to watch him. Seems like a great dude too, like the way he gives his interviews. I don't even remember what the question was. I just wanted to tell you how good he was.
Do you think he's going to still be on the Jets next year?
Oh yeah, yeah. I think he's still on the Jets. I think everything that comes out publicly for the most part is strategy, except for from Rodgers' camp, because he just says things. But I think in most guys' camps, everything that comes out is strategic. So I'm sure they're just doing that to see if they'll pay him a year early.
We'll get your power rankings here in just a minute. I know last week you had said, depending on the result of the Vikings game, that would make a determination between them and the Packers. But the biggest game in the NFL this weekend is obvious. It's Vikings-Lions. Mm-hmm. It's for the number one overall seed. Who do you actually like in that matchup? Who do you think is going to win it?
Well, first off, how does Detroit keep winning with, like, they've got three starters playing on defense, and that's not to talk down to any player, but, like, to lose that many starters is insane. I mean, it's like you talk about the Chiefs, right? They lose receiver one, receiver two, running back one, like all these guys, and they just keep winning. And it's just like, all right, I guess it's just what they do. But it's the same thing for the Lions. Like, they just keep winning. They just somehow are scoring more points. Even though they keep giving up more points, they are scoring more than the other team. So they're doing it.
Knowing that, do you still take the Vikings serious as a actual Super Bowl threat?
Yeah, I think you have to. They're 14-2. Like, if that's not a Super Bowl threat, then I don't know who is. And I get that it'll be pointed, a lot of it's pointed at Darnold being like, you know, when you just see so much, like, not great football, it's hard to get that out of your head.
Yeah.
But at 14-2, like, they win games. Now, it sucks for Sam, because let's say he has a bad playoff game, like, all of this positive talk about him is just going to flip on its head.
Right.
Which sucks for him, but he's done a great job this year. And yeah, definitely Super Bowl threats.
All right, let's get your power rankings. We do this each and every week. Vinny Pasquantino's top five in the NFL.
Okay. There's a caveat to this one though. So one is the Chiefs. Two is either the Vikings or the Lions, whoever wins.
Okay.
Whoever loses will be at five. And then the Eagles are three and the Bills are four.
So they go all the way down to five with if the Vikings were to lose or Lions were to lose. Okay.
Yeah, big time football teams win big time football games. That's fair. So, yeah,
it is weird. Said just, I'm sure everybody's had the same thought looking at Sunday's game though, that the Lions all year, I would say at least 80-90% of the year, but he said they were the best team in football and all this, and they're going to end up with, let's say, 14 wins and a loss, and they will be on the road throughout the entire postseason after all that, and their fans won't get a home playoff game.
And if they were to have that road playoff game, it's likely going to be against the Buccaneers or the Rams, who they've lost, or right. They beat the Rams, right, but went to overtime, but then lost to the Bucs.
Yeah.
So, like, you never want to worry about who you're playing, but I'd much rather be in the comfortable confines of Ford Field than playing in Tampa or at SoFi Stadium.
How good is this Bills team versus the other ones? You get to see them twice a year as a Jets fan, so you get a good sense of, like, how good of a Bills team it is.
I think they're probably pretty similar to the Lions in the fact that, like, if they're going to win, they just got to simply, like, obviously, but they have to simply outscore you. Like, they are going to be high scoring games. Yeah, you guys can warm up. I'll be in there in a second. No, 5 minutes. 5 minutes probably. 5 minutes probably. Yeah, 5 minutes probably. We hit at 10:30. We hit at 10:30. So, you know, I'm a little late, but that's fine. That's fine. We just did some defense stuff, take some time, take the call. But That game this week against the Jets was insane because the Jets have gone like 7 or 8 quarters, like, or had gone without punting, but they had no points because they get within the 20, they go for it, and they don't get it. Like, the Jets were moving the ball. They just couldn't score, which I don't blame on the Bills. I blame on the Jets. That's why the Bills are 4 for me. But they've got Josh Allen, and they're very good offensively. So they're still a scary team. They're just not that scary in my – like, I think if they play the Ravens, I think the Ravens will smoke them. And they're going to have to play the Ravens most likely.
The people you're working out with, do they know you're doing a radio interview in Kansas City?
They do, yes. Just because we've been doing it for years. So I've been late to hitting on Tuesdays for years. That was Brandon Lau from Tampa Bay.
Oh, okay.
He just interrupted that conversation. So the disrespect.
You know, you just can't trust these other guys in the league sometimes, Vinny. They don't understand the grind.
They don't understand.
Real quick, last one for you. Do you watch much of the college football playoff? I know that's been the story the last 24 hours or so. We know there's a game still later on today as well.
Which, that's horrible. First off,
sure.
What happened in Louisiana, like, that really sucks. But yes, I have been watching, mostly because I've had some scratch on it, but,
there we go.
That's, yeah. And I've been doing pretty good. There's a lot of points that are scored in college football.
Turns out. There's
my hint for the day.
I got you. Yeah. Like, so are you on the full on Ohio State bandwagon now? Cause I feel like everybody publicly is like, oh, this team's unstoppable now.
I mean, if they throw the ball, I am, but we've seen them not throw the ball and lose before. So who knows if they're going to get like, I've got some friends that went to Michigan and I'm just texting them like, what the heck?
Yeah. How do they win?
And it's like Ohio State gets so scared. Like, they need to start acting more like professional athletes when they play Michigan instead of, like, you're not going to war, guys. You're not going to war. You're playing a football game against Michigan. You're going to be okay after the fact. Like, just go play your game. Why are you letting it affect you so much? It's very strange. Like, the way that rivalry goes, to me, it always favors the underdog because both teams get so excited for it. It's like, play like the favorite. Like, don't play like an underdog. Just play like the favorite. You're better than them. Go beat them. It's very strange to me. But, yeah, I think Ohio State's got the – I mean, they for sure got the talent to win it all. Just throw the ball to Jeremiah Smith every single
play. He's unbelievable. I mean, truly, I know who was Dan Lanning after the game said it as well. Just he would be a top five pick in the NFL draft this year if he could.
Yeah,
he's obviously can't.
I think Dan Lanning's a really good coach. Oregon just ran into – like, Oregon got kind of screwed with this bracket in my mind. But, you know, Oregon wishes that they played Ohio State in the Big Ten championship. That is for sure in my mind, because that game wouldn't have mattered other than for the one seeds.
Great news, Vinny. We know you have to hit and to meet up with your agent. And the guy who said he DM'd you said, hey, shout out. That was me. Go have a few beers at lunch with your agent. He's giving you permission.
I'm not going to do that. I don't do that anymore.
All right, man. We'll let you get back to hitting and everything.
Okay. All right. I'll see you guys. Thanks.
There you go. That's Vinny Pasquantino, our VNFL insider. Kind enough to call in middle of workouts. Other
that's
big
all
leaguers. That's all he does. He doesn't drink anymore.
Eats, sleeps,
yep. Baseball.
Works out. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Because that Jack.
That's what I wanted my first baseman.
Jack on Instagram one time.
Eat and work out. That's it. Eat, work out, baseball.
I guess Brandon Lau must live in Nashville too, right?
I'm sure or something. Yeah. I mean, Nashville's a great town.
Well,
great
baseball
town.
Players love living where it's warmer longer. Like, it's not like Nashville's not like.
Yeah, it's not like there's a beach nearby.
No,
but yeah,
no, but
you.
It's like it's warmer longer than Kansas mm-hmm, City.
Sure.
It's not, you know, it still has four seasons and they got to go through some stuff, but maybe that's also just where he wants to live.
No, but Nashville's one of those like that's become more and more Nashville and Austin of like New Year's Eve spots too. Like, I have truly no interest in going to Times Square for New Year's Eve. I mean, you've seen it every year. Like, people will line up all day.
Yeah,
and they're packed in like sardines, and they legit will wear adult diapers, and because they can't go, you can't go to the bathroom anywhere. That sounds like a terrible experience, and it's usually miserably cold. Miserably cold. You would have to pay me a good sum of money to go. Now, if you want to have one of those buildings that are, you know, next door that overlook it, different story. But outside, having to wear a diaper all day? Are you kidding me? No, I'm out. You're going to have to pay me. Whereas in Nashville,
a lot of money.
Nashville and Austin look like pretty good parties for New Year's.
There's multiple people always on the text line and on the YouTube chat that are always saying that Vinny sounds like Shane Gillis.
Yeah. We forgot. Well, next time I'll make a note. We need to ask him about this if he gets that a lot. Somebody has mentioned that a few times. And I hear it. There's certain things he says. You're like, okay, I get it. There's other times where like, not at all. But there's definitely moments where you're like, he does sound like the comedian.
I'll take. I need to hear it side by side.
Okay.
He had the Eagles as third. Is that who?
Well, he said, and he said Vikings or Lions. The loser falls all the way to five. He had Buffalo four.
Okay. So Lions or Vikings. I like that he's always hedging his power rankings. Power rankings work week to week, Vinny. You can just re-rank them again next week. But he wants to make it clear that results matter. Mm-hmm. Vinny's a results-oriented person. Fun. He likes to make sure that, like, hey, who wins this actually determines where they belong in my power rankings.
Yeah, we can always count on the text line, too. It's good to be back. 913-586-7965. We got people looking up longitude and latitudes of Nashville, Kansas City.
I thought it always felt like it stayed
warmer longer. I knew there'd be somebody that said, well, actually, the equator, you know, it's the same length from the equator, okay, the same longitude, latitude. I don't think warm when I hear Nashville. I will say that, though.
I think warmer than can't, like, I guess I think, like, lessened four seasons, but maybe I'm wrong.
Not pretending like I just know. You've been to Nashville before, too. I love Nashville.
You want to get to where it's like really warm. Like you need to go to like North Florida, and even in North Florida, it gets down to the four. It gets down to the 40s.
The reason why spring training is also down in Tampa and everything like that.
Yeah, yeah. Where every single pitcher lives in Arizona.
Sure.
All the pitchers live in Arizona. They just like live in like I think the same gated community together. But yeah, people love to. You know what? I'm glad that people have got out the equator maps now. They're just ready to rock.
Looking up longitude and latitude.
Honestly, kudos. I don't care. I mean, again, kudos to you.
Thanks again to Vinny for joining us. We mentioned the wide receivers, though, before Vinny joined us, just where they're at now and like how natural it almost already looks with Hollywood Brown in there. Like you can see the grander picture of what they were looking for heading into week one that we just never saw because of the unfortunate injury, what it would have looked like with Rice and Brown and Worthy and oh my goodness. And we're already seeing that a little bit with just Worthy and Hollywood Brown now mix into this offense. I think heading into the postseason, what we think will be the playoff teams, and I'll go ahead and say I think it'll be the Broncos of the seventh seed. Look at the wide receiver rooms. Not the NFL, because the NFC has a couple of receiver rooms, A.J. Brown, Devonta Smith, Jefferson, and Addison.
I mean, good God.
And the Lions with Amon Ross St. Brown. Like, in the AFC, though, the Chiefs have the best wide receiver room heading into the postseason.
If we include tight end, even if we include tight end.
I don't even think we have to include Travis Kelce in this.
I don't think we do. But even if we include him, we just said receiving court, try to like make it as equal as possible, and we're giving tight ends who are maybe playing equal to or whatever or nearby. But even without him, I can't name you the one that's better. It's not the Chargers. We know that for a fact. Quentin Johnston, like that's just not better.
Ladd McConkey's having a great year, but they don't have the entire
room. Cortland Sutton's having a nice year. It's not better. The Ravens, I would say Zay Flowers is having probably the best year, maybe out of most of the receivers we're talking about. Like, so maybe there's an argument there, or maybe at some point there would have been an argument for the Texans. If Tank Dell was healthy, and Nico Collins is now
healthy.
That's what
I'm saying. With the way it's set up, man.
Yeah, it's the Chiefs. By the way, I'm not saying it's not close. I'm just saying.
Look at Buffalo. I
think if you lined them up and you made me re-rank the offensive weapons by team, and we included running back and tight end, or you separated it by just wide receivers, the Chiefs are number one either way. They don't have the number one offensive line. I think that's the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I'm just talking wide receiver room only, man.
It's the Chiefs.
I mean, look at the Bills, who we all agree are like their biggest threat, biggest challenger for them to get to a Super Bowl again. All right, Khalil Shakir is a really nice piece. He's not a touchdown guy. He's going to consistently get you 60 yards a game kind of guy. Nothing wrong with that. He's a really nice player. Keon Coleman has come on, but I don't think he's had a better year than Xavier Worthy. I think they're very close to where each other at. Worthy's obviously come on the scene a little bit later on in the year. Then after that, like who's Hodges, I guess, is the other one. Like I just think the Chiefs, their top 1-2 wide receiver weapons out of the AFC playoff field is as good as anybody. And if you want to add in Travis Kelce, then I think it's a no-brainer. And that's not something I expected to see, guys, or say, you know, 3-4 weeks ago. I don't think I was ever going to say that, but that's where we're at. And a lot of it has to do with Xavier Worthy continuing to play at a high level. And then Hollywood Brown, in the small sample size, he right away you can see, oh, my goodness, what he brings to the table.
Like, I don't need to point it out again because I think we've run the numbers on the stats. But since that Buffalo game, Xavier Worthy is a legit number two NFL wide receiver. 7 games, 39 catches, 400 yards, and 4 touchdowns. 1 on the ground, 3 in the air. I mean, for a 7-game stretch, that's a crazy run.
What's he up to for the season now? You mentioned those numbers there. So he's got to be,
that's
he's at
just for the last 7 games.
He's at 638 right now. 59 catches, 638, and 6 touchdowns in his rookie
season. Is that just
season.
Receiving, or is because he's got
that's
some rushing
just
ones
receiving.
Too.
Yeah, that's just receiving.
He's got one rushing, so that's 7 total.
7 total.
Yeah. Well, what was his preseason over-under? 750.
We thought that was high, and it looks like it's going to end up being just a little
too high. I
mean, if they hit one of those deep balls, though, I mean that turns into 700 real quick.
Yeah, but how much does he play on Sunday? That's what I'm saying. Like, he's not going to get to 750. He's not getting 120 yards on Sunday.
Right. I just mean if you go back earlier in the year, if you look at two deep ball, if they'd have hit twice on a deep ball, then he's at 700 right now.
If I told you 700 all-purpose yards, which I'm sure he's at, if that's what he's got receiving. If I had told you 700 all-purpose yards and 7 touchdowns, we would have all signed up so fast.
Of course.
I mean, just so fast. The key for them is I don't think they have the number one wide receiver out of the teams in there. I think their thing is that they are just deep now. They play deep. Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, DeAndre Hopkins, Travis Kelce, McColl is your 5 or what. I don't care who it is. Like, when your 5th wide receiver has at some point in the NFL had 500, 600, 700 receiving yards in the NFL sometime in the last 48 months. I mean, it's just no one's deeper than them by a mile.
Just curious if we all agree on that. Who do you think then, if we're just talking the AFC playoff field, what we think will be the playoff field as it sits today, who's the number one receiver? Not talking about tight ends. Number one receiver then. Is it? I know somebody will say George Pickens. We'll talk about this more during all 32. I'm so glad he's not on this football team.
As it currently sits?
As it currently sits, yeah, because I understand.
It'd be Jamar Chase.
I'm talking about the current playoff field.
Zay Flowers, maybe?
I think Flowers is probably where you go, and then it's a competition. Like you're getting into a Ladd McConkey, you know.
The rookie, yeah, man.
Right? I mean,
case, you'd probably have to give it to DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, hypothetically. Nico. I'd say
It can't be D-Hop. He's been great for this team, but, like, he's not. Statistically, the stats aren't there.
Nico Collins D-Hop is the guy, though,
that
Cody.
If I need a third down conversion, D-Hop might be at the number one on the list of a guy that I know is going to catch the football.
My answer would be Nico Collins. If you gave me any wide receiver in the entire field, I think the guy with the most talent is Nico Collins.
Yeah.
I mean, he would have been. Fair. I think he would have been a 1,400-yard wide receiver if he missed no games this year.
Yeah, he was great last year for them. That's for sure.
Yeah, and he was a 1,300-yard receiver last year. He's got he's 32 yards short of 1,000 this year and 6 touchdowns.
So Nico Collins.
My answer would be Nico Collins.
And Zay Flowers, Drew. I think that's the Zay Flowers, true. Nico Collins.
Did you guys see? By the way, he's the first Ravens wide receiver ever to make the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, but the Chiefs in 29 years, and then nuts. But the point is, there might be 2-3 teams that you can make the argument have the better number one. But the Chiefs by far have the best number 2, 3, 4, and 5, probably. So, like, once you start doing that, it's hard to not have the best wide receiver room. That's all. Because, fine, you got the best number one. We win 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, over any other team in the entire AFC playoff field in the ranking system. So, our receiver unit's better. And they still have the best tight end in the AFC playoff field. I think that the torch has officially been handed to Brock Bowers as the number one NFL. I wasn't willing to hand it off to Sam LaPorta last year. But Bowers, I mean, Jesus. He's so good. And so maybe that torch has officially been passed to best tight end in the NFL. Yeah. But, like, he's still the best in the AFC playoff field.
Well, it's the opposite on the NFC side of where you look at these receiver rooms. I mean, because the number one receiver room on the NFC side, it's Jefferson and Addison. I don't think it's close. And then you would go with A.J. Brown and Devonta Smith. You keep going through Amon-Ra St. Brown, and in a weird way, like Jameson Williams, who a year ago everybody was like, "Man, this guy can't stay on the field," and all this, and now he's kind of cleaned up his game, if you will. The receiver talent on the NFC side of that perceived playoff field is incredible. I mean, it's just not. I mean, there's 3 or 4 teams you would take wide receiver rooms on the NFC side before you would take a single AFC.
I mean, even the Commanders. You look at Terry McLaurin and Zacchaeus has been great down the stretch for them.
Talent-wise,
not there with the ones you mentioned, but they're still very good.
They would be, I think, in that, like, they would be in the competition. Like, if I told you McLaurin and Zacchaeus, that would be very similar to what I would start to look at on the AFC side. Like, I think there's a huge drop off after, like, so Jefferson, Addison, and Devonta Smith, A.J. Brown, and even Amon-Ra St. Brown and Jameson Williams. I think there's a pretty big drop off after that. Terry McLaurin finally has a quarterback, and so everybody's, you know, seeing more and more what he is. Zacchaeus, though, he had a great game last week, but he's just a dude. He's just a dude.
I mean, if Chris Godwin was healthy, too, then you're looking at Mike Evans and Chris Godwin as well. I mean,
Yeah, the NFC side is loaded.
That's been a duo for a very long time. Yeah.
Mike Evans is incredible.
He's going to get 1,000 yards again, even though he missed, like, a huge chunk of the season.
He's 80 yards or whatever, 85 yards, something like that. All right, up next, though, let's talk about why you think this is the best path the Chiefs have had in a while, and one thing that has been very, very annoying to see once again around the National Football League with the playoffs.